Good morning, everyone. It is Monday, May 22, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, May 23, in fact. Is that right, Clarkey? May 23, yep.
I've lost your volume before I even start him. I can't hear what you're saying. You can say whatever date you like.
We'll start again. Monday, May 23, Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Very good morning to everyone, wherever you are listening. And before I say good morning to the boys, I'll get straight into it. I'm sure everyone would love to know what happened in the Premier League overnight. Wouldn't you love to know?
Let me know, Mido. Let me know. Morning, everybody.
We'll get Loz's volume working shortly. Get him on air, but I'll tell you what's going on. So we had the final day with Liverpool 1 point behind Manchester City. And, well, Aston Villa went 2-0 up against Manchester City in the second half. Liverpool, though, was struggling over against Wolves and conceded the first goal. But as Liverpool were making, well, firstly, they equalised around 20-odd minutes later and then went ahead in the second half. And as that was happening, Manchester City scored 3 goals in 5 minutes and won the title. So those goals coming between the 76th and 81st minute. City won 3-2 at home against Aston Villa. Liverpool beat Wolves 3-1 at home at Anfield. So City win the title for the fourth time in 5 years. And down the bottom of the table, Burnley were relegated. They lost at home against Newcastle 2-1, and Leeds survived. Now, they were on track for survival as they were 1-1 at Brentford, but then they scored a late goal in stoppage time and won 2-1. So Leeds United survive and won 2-1. Burnley relegated. City win the title. So I hope that wraps that up. Now, in the PGA Championship this morning, as we're just trying to sort the guy's audio out in here, but Mito Pereira, the Chilean, has a one-stroke lead. He's 8 under, but he is 1 over through 3 holes. Will Zalatoris, who Dick Fain tipped for us the other day, 7 under, 1 shot off the pace, 1 under through 4. Now, Lucas Herbert, going well. 2 under through 7 holes, 3 under for the tournament, the Aussie. So he's up in a tie for 5th. 5 shots off the pace. So we're hoping that he continues to rocket up the leaderboard here on the final day there in the PGA Championship. Also overnight in the Formula One, Max Verstappen won the Spanish Grand Prix after Charles Leclerc suffered engine failure when appearing on course for victory. So Verstappen wins. Sergio Perez and George Russell filled the podium. Daniel Ricciardo was 12th. Lando Norris 8th, his teammate. So, again, not a great result for Daniel Ricciardo after he qualified 9th. I think we got the boys now. Morning to you, pup.
Morning, Mido, Loza, listeners. Yep, headphones sorted. I can hear you both.
We had the wrong headphones on.
We had a little mix-up there. We sorted it out. But happy Monday. What a weekend. What a weekend of footy. Rugby, brilliant. League, brilliant. Tigers won, thank goodness.
Oh, yeah.
The Raiders look might out. Be back in town daily. What about the Raiders?
Three in a row.
Something happened there, a little...
They're just playing some good football at the moment, fellas, but still a long, long way to go. Currently in 9th position. Well done to Josh Papali, or Papali. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got a try as well, didn't he?
Yeah, for playing in his 250th game. Been a real worry for the club, but they're playing some really good football. South Sydney. Jeez, they're poor at the moment.
Where's Cookie? Cookie's not on.
Cookie played well.
Yeah.
Cookie actually played well.
Yeah.
Saved a wonderful try.
What an effort that was.
And then scored a wonderful try.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Rabbits?
They're just ill-disciplined at the moment and just totally out-muscled.
New PM?
New PM, yeah.
Well, he's got to fix Souths now, doesn't he? He's got to fix his footy team.
That's his number one concern, I reckon. Sharks are doing fine. ScoMo will be happy. Yeah. They're on fire. Sharks.
They were good yesterday.
Good again.
Sharks, yeah. They came back in that second half. Unearthed a exciting young player, didn't they? Lockie Miller, 27.
He's little, though, isn't he? He's not a... Not big.
Played the Australian Rugby Sevens, but it's a fair age to be making your debut in the NRL and to be playing rugby union. I know he played rugby league as a junior with the Sawtell Panthers, but you know, to go away and play in the Sevens program and play to represent Australia there and to come back and play as well as he did in his debut was pretty special, I thought.
Yeah, great story, isn't it? And what about the Melbourne Storm, fellas? All of a sudden.
Have some of that.
I know they've got some injuries, some key injuries. You're not reading a huge amount into it.
I'm not reading anything into it. No.
Nothing.
What about the other way? Are you reading into the Cowboys? Because they are playing proper
really well.
Footy.
Yep. No, they're playing good football.
Are they genuine contenders?
No.
Love it.
They're not top four?
Oh, they're top four, yeah.
They're top four, but
they can't win the comp.
But you reckon they're top four Cowboys?
If Melbourne and Penrith are healthy,
yep.
And Parramatta, no, I don't think Cowboys can win the comp. I think they're a very good team. I don't think they can win the comp.
Okay.
And I've got no concerns at all with Melbourne if they're fit.
Okay.
If they're fit, make top four.
Okay.
If Melbourne are fit, make top four.
What about Roosters? Like, we all backed them at the start of the year, and I sort of thought by this stage, you'd see that shift, but they're still not.
We'll put it this way.
Playing great footy.
I don't think they will win it.
The Roosters?
Yeah. But it'd be more of a shock if the Cowboys won it than the Roosters won it.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You can see the Roosters going on a run at some
point. Why are the Roosters struggling? Why have they? What are they missing at the moment? Because it's just... You can't see that many good players in a team, and things mightn't gel, or you mightn't have rhythm or momentum or confidence. I get all that, but when you've got so many superstars, just individual brilliance should be winning your games. And at the moment, it's not.
Yeah, they're winning sort of games without playing well. Although, having said that, their last couple of performances, they knocked off Parramatta, they knocked off the Titans.
They should be.
But playing against Penrith, Penrith are a very, very good tide at the moment. They're way above everyone else. They're playing at a different standard.
Yeah.
But again...
Parra just knocked them off as well. Parra just knocked Penrith off. I don't expect Penrith Roosters to be that far behind Penrith with so many superstars.
Yeah, I look at Penrith and go, wow, they're very good, different league. And them and Melbourne are together. If Melbourne have got their full strength side out there, I think Melbourne and Penrith are the two absolute standouts. And then you've got the next level of team, and that's a Parramatta, possibly a Roosters, Cowboys. But, you know, South have dropped off. You can't see South doing anything.
What about poor Tommy T?
The biggest story of the weekend for sure, Clarkey. Tom
Trbojevic. Did I read this morning, out for the season?
Looks that way. Seeing the surgeon this week, dislocated shoulder there on Friday night.
He looked in pain, eh? Poor thing.
And that is gone for the season.
You try and get through the season.
You could.
You could, depending on how much damage has been done.
You got to go.
But if they're ruling him out now, is that because they're saying nuts, straight into surgery?
I think he's going to see a surgeon just to see. If he may be able to. They might be able to look at it and say, well, you know what? You can rehab it. You can strengthen it. You can have 6 to 8 weeks out and then come back. Or we just go and get it done straight away and then rule you out for the season. So I think it'll come down to what the surgeon says and what Tommy feels.
Jesus had a poor run, hasn't he? Like with injuries, you just feel for players like that especially when they're so good. You want to see them on the park all the time, so you notice every time they're
every
injured.
Time, yeah.
But the last few years, he's just had and different injuries, which is probably good thing. It's not the same thing, but if he's out for the season, that's devastating for footy fans, let alone for Manly and the Blues. It's just you want to watch him play.
Yeah. He hasn't had the best of luck, has he? You know, with that hamstring last year and. And now this shoulder injury and, you know, but it might possibly play this year. You just don't know until they're ruled out, until the surgeon has a decent look at them. They might be able to do some work to get him to a stage where he can get through games. It's happened before and then players go on and get the injury done at the end of the off season.
What about with something like that? Let's say you're the coach, your Desi Hasler, for example, or your Brad Fittler. In your position, like there's certain positions you do more tackling, for example. What if they said, rightio, well, you'll be able to manage it better playing in the centres or on the wing than playing fullback because you're less defence? Or do you consider even that, or do you go, you can either play your position or you can't? For someone that good, surely him in the team anywhere is better than not being in the team at all.
Yeah, well, mate, you can do it. I mean, Nathan Cleary did it last year.
Mm.
You know, he got through the season with that busted shoulder and then got surgery done at the end of the off-season. I remember in 88, and I think I've told this story before, I did it in a trial. The Sub Blacks came out. I was able to continue to play for the rest of the year. Certain situations, it had come out and go back in, and then they wanted me to strengthen it, so I started to strengthen it, and then I was playing in that basketball game.
You said that.
And I put
that.
My hand up.
Popped out.
And it just popped out. And then they knew straight away then that I had to go and get it done again. Or not again, but to go and get it done. So you can play through a season with them, but it depends on how much damage has actually been done the first time it's come out.
Yeah, okay.
And once they assess it, they'll either make a decision, well, you know what, we can rehab this to get you through the year, get it done, or you just... done so much damage that you need surgery straight away.
Back page of the Daily Telegraph, your Lockie Day. Olympian pulls off Sharks debut to remember. And there yesterday, 25-18, Cronulla beating the Titans. And as we spoke about earlier, what a debut for Olympian Lockie Miller. They had to fend off a late fight back, though, there from the Titans when they led 24-6 with just over 10 minutes to go. But Nicho Hynes again was superb as he returned back to... into the halves. That ball he gave to Mulitalo leading into his try there was a touch of class, and he's gonna get close, Loz, I reckon, to a jersey there for New South Wales.
Well, they've got some good options. I can see Nicho being that 14 for New South Wales, given the fact he can play a number of positions, but it'll still be highly contested. And I know, you know, Tommy might be out of the Origin series and Latrell missing first game, but New South Wales are quite lucky in the fact that they've got a number of centres that can do the job. And when you look at it with, you know, Steve Crichton, the way that he's playing, and he's going to form a combination with Brian Toho, you know, that can slot straight into Origin. You've got Katoni Stagg sitting there waiting. You've got a bloke like Matt Burton who could play in that team as well and, you know, have another Penrith combination with Jerome Luai on that left edge. I think we're sort of lucky in that regard. The 14, that'll be a topic of discussion for Brad Fittler and his men, no doubt about it. They'll need to be able to get someone that can play a lot of different positions. And Nicho Hynes is certainly playing some good footy at the moment. He's in control of his game. You know, he's making good decisions. He's still got an error in him, Nicho, but he just looks calm. And that's what he's brought to this Sharks team. And they changed it up a little bit yesterday in their second half. I thought they started to find their rhythm a bit more in attack. They still sort of went to sleep. And when they go to sleep, they leak points, which is something that we sort of didn't see at the start of the year. Funny with the Sharks, at the start of the year, they looked like the best attacking team in the comp. And they had this defensive system that was just hard to break down. But it's sort of fallen apart a little bit for them the last couple of weeks. But, you know, they got the 2 points yesterday. They did it without Will Kennedy and Jesse Ramien, who'll come back into that team. But yeah, this young fullback that they gave an opportunity to yesterday, Lockie Miller, geez, I thought he handled himself very well.
Yeah,
no, he looked terrific. He looked light on his feet. Mm. He looked very, very dangerous.
Yeah, look confident and comfortable, no doubt about that. By the way, Wednesday, 2 weeks until Origin. So Brad Fittler picks a team next Sunday night.
Well, yeah, at least Sunday, Monday night. Yeah, that's when they'll pick it.
No, it will be made known on Sunday night, yeah. But... wonder if he knows today. I wonder if he, as of this morning, did you, Loz? Did you, like, how late?
Oh, mate, you always have a...
different time for you, yeah, though.
But you always had a bit of an idea on who you wanted.
Yeah.
But you could never sort of be confident that you'd get that team because of games of football that you had to get through over that last weekend before you selected the team. So anything could happen. You could have guys facing suspension, getting injured, all those type of things. And then... you just got to wait and see what sort of talent pool you've got available and then select your team from there. So you have a rough idea on who you want to pick, but you can't lock anyone in until you actually know who's available and who's not.
Also, the back page of the telly, refs cop death threats, an exclusive here. And Buzz, I think, has written this article. Yes, he has, and he'll tell us a bit about it after 7 o'clock this morning. Reffing disgrace, Volandi's livid over death threats to whistleblowers on the inside back page of the Telegraph. So... Buzz will give us the details there, but despite what you may think of some decisions and officials, etc., I mean, that sort of stuff is just completely unacceptable, goes without saying, really, doesn't it? And we'll get Buzz to give us the details there. But J-Max Mark, a ton of chances for Hoop. So as of Wednesday, by the way, that meeting, the Doomben Cup meeting, which was rescheduled after it was called off on Saturday for Wednesday, now being abandoned, poor old South East Queensland copping a deluge is seems to be the theme here around New South Wales and around Sydney as well. But the Doomben Cup now moves to Eagle Farm on Saturday. So there'll be three Group 1s there at Eagle Farm Saturday, along with the Kingsford Smith and also the Queensland Derby. The Roses, the Group 2 and the Group 3 BRC Sprint will also move to this Saturday as well. A big backlog of races there in that Queensland Carnival. But James McDonald, he's on the verge of equaling Darren Biedman's achievement of, what, four straight years of riding 100 winners in a season. He's on 98 in Sydney racing, not in Sydney races or metropolitan races, heading into Wednesday's meeting where he'll have a full book there at Canterbury. Also on the back page, or on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, rabbits in the headlights. And yesterday we saw again Dubbo. Hasn't been a happy hunting ground for them, has it, after they were well destroyed there by Penrith last year, and 32-12 yesterday against the Canberra Raiders. And they did lose Loz Junior Totola and Tane Mill to concussion in the first half. It was 20-0 at half time. But they got some issues.
Oh, they do. They've got to control the ball. Yesterday they just turned over way too much possession. And it puts a lot of pressure on your defence, and their defence just didn't hold up. I thought the Raiders' front rowers were great yesterday. Tarpany and Papa playing his 250th game. I just thought they took the team forward. Nick Kotrick had his best game in the Raiders' colours since he's come back. They didn't have a bad player, and they led 20-0 at half time, and the Bunnies were just blown off the park. We might have to delve a little bit deeper with Cookie on Wednesday, because she's been saying the same thing for a number of weeks. And the thing that you don't want happening in your football team is to identify the areas that are going wrong and not being able to fix them. That's a bigger concern for me, is when you've identified it and you still have the same things happening. So that becomes then not only an issue for everybody, but it just then starts to play on your mind a little bit. It's a bit like, you know, when someone says you fade in the second half, all of a sudden that starts to play on your mind and you start to fade a bit in the second half and you start to lose those leads. You look at what the Rabbitohs are doing, they're just turning over too much possession. You know, their completion rates aren't great, and we've seen that right from the start of the year, and when they get it right, they're a tough team to beat. But they're just not playing as well as what we thought. Obviously, no Cam Murray out. They lost a couple of players through concussions yesterday, but I was still expecting a tougher team, and a team that still had a lot of experience in there that controlled the football a lot better than what they did.
I'll tell you what, I know Charnes Nickel Clustar suffered a hamstring injury, loss, but what a try that was from Xavier Savage.
Oh, look, showed he's great got plenty gas, of talent. Didn't he? He's got plenty of talent, Xavier, and there's no denying that he's very fast and he's someone that will light up the field and he'll be a cult figure for the Raiders. But, you know, just at the moment, they're, you know, keeping him, you know, grounded and keeping him on the bench and giving him limited opportunities because Charnes has been playing well. But you'll see what he's able to do over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, he's an exciting talent and he's someone that the Raiders have identified as a long-term prospect for them.
Also on the back page of the Herald, Titmus takes world record off Ledecky, and on the back page of the Australian, Ledecky's record is terminated. And last night at the Australian Swimming Championships, and I'm sure JR will give us a big update there, but Ariane Titmus, one of the great moments, wasn't it, from the Tokyo Games last year when she won gold in the 400, beating Ledecky, and last night, well, she broke the Americans' 2016 world record from Rio. And she's just a star, Ariane Titmus. So sensational performance. And we'll get an update from JR on what's going on there later this morning. Any idea what's going on with the love triangle, Clark?
No, I'm a little confused.
You're supposed to be all over
this. Jamie's got us covered, so I'll ask her. I'm a little uncertain what's going on, because I'm hearing that... Okay, tell me the couple that were together. Tell me their names again.
It was Kyle Chalmers, okay, Kyle, and Emma McKeon, okay. But that ended
they
quite
broke
some
up.
Time ago.
I've heard that Kyle is actually dating somebody else, another swimmer.
Right,
so
I have no idea there.
We're assuming there's a bit of beef here, but he might have moved on. It sounds like he's got another girl, so maybe he's just changed his mind and wants to swim all of a sudden. Maybe it's enough to do with Cody.
We just want everyone to be happy, don't we?
Yeah, I don't mind the gossip that comes with it. I love the Daily Mail just taking a bit of focus here. That's good fun. But Jamie will know. She'd be texting him. She'd be talking to him. She'll know exactly what's going on. We'll get the goss. Don't worry about that.
Oh, we'll get an update there. As it ticks over 6 o'clock, though, just a reminder, if you're just waking up, Manchester City won the title in the Premier League this morning. They were 2-0 down against Aston Villa. Extraordinary. They made it interesting. They scored 3 goals in 5 minutes and won 3-2 as Liverpool came from a goal down to beat Wolves at home 3-1. So City win the title. Burnley are relegated at the other end. They lost to Newcastle, whereas Leeds, well, they were 1-1 against Brentford and they look safe anyway, but they scored a goal just to seal safety. And as far as the battle for fourth is concerned, Tottenham, they got there. They won easily, as did Arsenal, so they both won. But Tottenham finishing ahead of Arsenal to finish fourth. Yes, give us a call, 13 53 53. Send us a text, 0419 767 272. Heroes and Villains this Monday. $100 gift card to give away and a case of the Saint and Sinner alcoholic kombucha. As Clarky shows me that his horse, Pretty Wild, off to the races pretty soon.
Mm. Oh. I think they're talking Friday, June 4.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
You are kidding. So she...
Trial, she did okay. She did okay.
Finished fifth in a field of 10, beaten just under 4 lengths. According to Loz, was pretty firm hold from Lee Magorian. So, okay, there we go. Might go to a maiden, probably be the 1st of June at Warwick Farm, over 1,200. Maybe a maiden at Newcastle on June 4. So, hang on, June 1?
Yeah, that's like round
that's
the corner.
That's Wednesday week.
Mm.
Oh, you're kidding.
Go on, youngster. Oh, like that's there's enough positivity there for you, you know? That's for sure.
No, it's awesome. While the boys get their heroes and villains ready, just on the text line, a couple of early nominations. Morning, lads. My hero this week has to be the EPL. That truly was an amazing viewing this morning. Hopefully the organisers do this every year for the last round, all playing at the same time and sucked in middo. they do that every season in the Premier League. The last fixtures, all clubs kick off at the same time, the last 10 games of the season. My villains have to be the footy gods causing Tom Trbojevic to spend the year off, and also another one down for the Blues, and also the amount of donkey voters in the elections. Cheers, Brett. Morning, all heroes. The Cowboys, so good to have a spinner in the works in this year's competition. Villains, the referee in the bunker and the Manly Para game. Never in my life have I seen a stitch-up like that one. Just a complete refusal on their behalf to let the better team win. As someone once said, there has to be an investigation. Says Aaron, I did hate the call, and... As an old Bears fan, I'm no lover of the Manly Sea Eagles. Morning, Manly fans. I hated the call against Christian Tuipulotu on Friday night. Penalised for that. Yeah. Saving the try.
Yeah, well, he's got to go in hard, doesn't he? He's
well, what else do you... Him.
Well, you can't do much. And when you slip into a tackle, you can make contact to the head. And I know you've got to look after the man carrying the football. I understand that. But I don't know what else he's expected to do.
Seriously. It's just common sense. One thing I'll say, it's one of my probably villains as well. If we're feeling bad about it at the moment in rugby league, go and watch the AFL. What is going on over there at the moment? We would be in absolute... We'd be losing it. Mm. Losing it. You can't tackle. You can't... Like the descent, 50 metre penalties.
You can't complain about a decision, can you?
Are just mind-boggling. Mm.
Well, there's descent and then there's descent. The one where you just shrug your shoulders, that shouldn't be a penalty. Yep. If you're giving it to the referee, totally understand. Totally understand if you give the referee a mouthful. That's unacceptable. But when you are there and the umpire and they just shrug their shoulders, basically saying, what's going on? And the umpire has a 50 against them, that's when they get a bit upset, fans.
Well, it could decide a preliminary final or a final. It is just madness. And some of the free kicks that were given just for legitimate tackles on the weekend. Oh, what was it, too hard?
Mm.
It's the AFL. Like, seriously.
It's
anyway,
a professional game, you know?
It is
professional
ridiculous.
Game.
Heroes and villains. Loz, go for it.
Jesus, plenty of heroes this weekend. I am going to give it to the Raiders and Josh Papali for 250 games for the club. Outstanding performance yesterday, and well done to them winning three in a row because they'd been under the pump a little bit and people were starting to question where they were going and what they were up to, but they've shown everyone what they're capable of doing. And my villain is, and I've said this for probably, I don't know, 2 years, you've probably heard me say this, the amount of stoppages in the game of rugby league. It's supposed to be a free-flowing sport. I just get a little bit upset when we stop the game for everything. That's all. Just stoppages, Mido. I'm not talking about the refereeing. I'm talking about the amount of stoppages in the game.
You've been consistent on this.
Oh, it does my head in. Mm. It does my head in. We stop for every little thing. And there's too many, in my opinion.
Clarkie.
Two heroes. One, the Cowboys. They've been brilliant the entire season. I think I was as tough as anyone on them before the start of the year, certainly on Toddy Payton, but he has done an amazing job, so I think they deserve a lot of credit. And the other, I've got second hero, Mitchell Moses, for that kick for goal.
Yeah.
Again, I know you train every single day and he does the practice and there is expectation, but under pressure, kick on the line, horrible conditions as well, bucketing down rain. And I think in general, we've been, as in fans have been, extremely hard on Mitchell Moses over the years. So I reckon he deserves a bit of credit as well for a great kick. So they're my two heroes. Villains, unfortunately, for Cookie is the Rabbitohs. And again, Cookie's on fire playing well, but he's a big part of that team and very keen to chat to him this week to work out what they're going to do to turn things around, because they're another example of individual brilliant skill talent is there, but they're just not gelling as a team at the moment. So keen to hear his thoughts on why and how they're going to turn it around.
I thought they'd miss Adam Reynolds, but I didn't think they'd miss him as much as what they have done.
Yep. And that's why it won't go away. Like, we talk about it every week, and we will continue to, because, you know, and we get listeners text in, say, well, they didn't flick Adam Reynolds. He just wanted a three-year deal. They wanted a one-year deal. But I think we're seeing exactly why, when you get a number seven like that, you understand why every team wants them, or you should be signing them on long-term deals. Forget how many tries he scores and sets up and tackle. Just the control. Just the number seven that can control your team. Rabbits are missing him big time.
Well, it's made a difference to a couple of teams already. Made a difference to the Broncos. And Chad Townsend's made a massive difference to the Cowboys. And you look at all those teams in the top half of the draw. Look at what's happened with Melbourne without Jerome Hughes the last couple of weeks. You know, take Cleary out of Penrith. I know they played without him at the start of the year, but still, when you get to some big games and you're playing consistently without your number seven, you're not the same football team.
My heroes, fellas, and yesterday as Canberra was stretching away from the Bunnies, I flicked over and watched most of the second half of the Waratahs, and they were good. They won in Dunedin for the first time in 14 years, and they beat a Kiwi team in New Zealand for the first time since 2015, beating the Highlanders 32-20. They finished the season next Saturday night against the Blues at Leichhardt, the Blues who I think have lost one game and well and truly on top of the table. At this stage in the finals, they're likely to play the Brumbies in Canberra in the first week.
The Brumbies were good against Auckland the other night. It was only a Bowden Barrett field goal that stopped them from claiming the points. I want to know, Mido, because you watch a lot more rugby than what I do.
I haven't watched that much this year, Are
we closing the gap with our performances, or are the Kiwi sides drop their standards and not as strong as what they've been in the past?
Well, we're definitely getting better.
We're getting
better. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you look at that Waratahs side, Darren Coleman. I mean, I don't know what. He obviously has a great ability to connect with players.
But it looks as though all the squads here in Australia have improved.
Oh, the Rebels and the Force have got some problems.
Yeah, but the Reds. Have got a lot of injury concerns, but if they had their best players on the field, you see what they did when they were playing domestic hotly over here, you know, against the Brumbies and against the Waratahs. They were winning games, but they've been, you know, dismantled, I suppose, with the amount of injuries that they've had. But you put their best sides on the paddock against these Kiwis, they'd be competing as well. We haven't had three sides like that compete for a long time against the Kiwi sides.
Yeah, no, it's good science for sure. But we get the true indication, don't we, when we see the gold jumpers go up against the black jumpers. But the signs are good.
Yeah, but you've got to have your domestic players in form to take on
definitely
the Kiwis at that international level, rather than them losing games and coming together and then trying to get that confidence. Mm. They come into this group now confident and believing they can actually challenge the All Blacks.
And yesterday, Michael Hooper, geez, a good player, back in the side after a head knock.
Oh. Nasty tackle.
Yes, yeah.
But wasn't he defending?
No, he got, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Highlanders 5'8" was sent off for basically spear tackling Michael Hooper. Mm. And Hooper, even after the game, goes, yeah, you probably should see a few weeks for that. And fair enough, too. Yeah,
spear tackles, they've got to get rid of them.
And
league
Hooper
as well.
Was defending, though.
Yeah, he was.
Hooper didn't have the ball, he wasn't attacking.
But any time you sort of end up on your head like that, it's dangerous.
My villains, as I mentioned, the AFL umpire. Well, it's just the AFL for this outrageous crackdown. They're ruining the fabric of the game completely. And also, my other villain, only because I don't think we ever get to say it, is the Melbourne Storm for being pumped 2 weeks in a row. Ha! Shano, how's it going? Well, we just never get to say it. I thought, well, how often do we get to make the Storm the villains for their performances?
I don't lose too often.
Rarely.
No. Two in a row.
But look at the score lines in both games.
Bellamy was steaming as well. Did you see that footage of him in the first half?
Yeah.
Oh.
Although you could say that about Craig in any game.
In general, yeah, true.
In any game.
Yeah, he's consistent.
Yeah, looking up to the box and they could be 20 in front and he'd still have that expression on his face. But yeah, no, they're missing Pappenhausen and they missed Big Nelson and Jerome Hughes. You know, I still think Melbourne will be there at the end of the year. I don't think there's alarm bells. I think if you're getting that type of score line with those guys in the team, you'd have plenty of concerns. They've always based themselves around next man up, though. That's the thing that would be worrying Craig, the fact that he's been given players opportunities to, you know, come in and perform a job, and they haven't done that to his expectation. That'd be the thing that would be letting Craig down. And then that, transfers throughout the whole side, because all of a sudden you've got some of the experienced players not competing. And when you have that, that sort of is the one thing that would be frustrating him, because he'd be expecting his senior players to show the way to these junior players and want them to at least compete on every play. And if they're dropping off in certain areas, those no talent required areas, then he'd be disappointed with that. And I reckon that's why he was getting upset in the coach's box, the fact that they were dropping off on the little things that they've always prided themselves on, the non-negotiables in a game.
Give us a call, 1353 53. Jack, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you today?
Pretty well, thanks, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks.
Have you got a hero for us?
Hero, yeah, I've got a hero for you. Brad Davison.
Yeah, he tipped a few, didn't he?
Last Wednesday, I always take his tips. I'm only a small punter, but anyway, last Wednesday he tipped 6 out of 8 races. Two specials he made. One paid $12, the other one paid $4. Then on Saturday, his best bet of the day won, 4-1.
I think it was Aravine, was it?
Yeah, that's it. I just think he's the best tipster going around. So
yeah, he's seeing them like beach balls at the moment. He also tipped, I think, Maria Mia in race 8.
Yeah. Yes, and I back that too.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, you've had a little fill-up there, Jack. How good?
Oh, I've got a few dollars in the bank, but anyway, thanks to Brad, he's my hero.
What about your villain?
My villain is Ben Cummings. I thought he seems to find a way to ruin a game, that bloke. Just some of his decisions.
Was he in the Manly game the other night?
Yeah, the other night. Yeah. But there's been games. Well, I remember the one there with the Raiders when he gave them 6 again there in one of the games. I think it was
grand
in the final.
Final
or in the final.
I remember that one.
but I think it's time he ended his badge in that fella. But anyway, that's just my opinion.
Good on you, Jack. Appreciate the call.
David,
we'll take
good form.
Yeah, he. Yes, big time.
Jeez.
We've just got to go all in with Dave, I think, too.
Well, I have been on the Wednesday tip against with Cookie.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, of course. Timpanist. Gee, just watching some players trying to hold it together in the last round of the PGA Championship there at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mito Pereira has just dropped the shot, so he's 8-under through 7 holes. The Chilean, who went into the final round leading by 3 shots, Will Zalatoris, has had a couple of shanks. Looks like he's just saved par there. I think he's 6-under, so 2 shots off the pace. Zalatoris. And just looking, no, he's, or is he 7-under? I'll get an update there. I don't think this is updated on the PGA Tour website, but he's, I think, 2 shots behind Pereira as they battle at the top of the leaderboard. Lucas Herbert, oh, he's just dropped a shot at 11. So he's just gone back to 2-under par, the Aussie. He's the best of the Aussies, 2-under par, 1-under through 11 holes, but he was 3-under par. Cam Smith, he is 1 over for the tournament, and even through 16 holes, the Aussie tied for 17th as it stands in the PGA Championship. We have Shane on the line. Morning, Shane.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Mate, going all right. How are you?
Yeah, Ballon. Hey, Lozzie, you got Belly H number.
I have, yeah. Do you want it?
Can you tell him never to pick Harry Grant at halfback again?
I think he even put his hand up for that too, didn't he? And said he'll never do that again.
Mate, put anybody in there. Put Nikarima in there. Put Wishart in there. Leave Harry, the best hooker in the world, at hooker. I just can't understand that. But, you know, the big names they're missing. You know they're missing out wide? Remus Smith. Our centres, that left side, they're pathetic. Oh.
Yeah, Marion Sevier.
Oh, man.
He didn't have much of a game the other night, but anyhow, Mido's given it to you earlier too, Shane.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Mate, we've got
2
young.
We'll
give it back to him, Shane. Give it back to him. Don't just come on here and cop it from him. Give it to him.
What about Liverpool, Mido?
Yeah, well, didn't take long, did it?
Look, Bellamy's got 2 young superstars playing the Queensland Cup, Jack Howarth and William Warbeck. Mate, just whack them in their blood, these young blokes now. You know, they've got to. Anyway, that's Bellamy's. Look, my heroes, the Cowboys, they're playing out of their skin. The football they're playing, expansive, they're throwing around, their attack is sensational. The big test will come Friday night, but geez, they look the goods. And my villain is the Dolphins. Contemplating signing up Matt Lodge. Please stay away from this bloke. Do not go near him.
I think I saw it was basically ruled out that good. Lodge would end up there.
No, you would not touch him with a 10-foot pole. He does nothing for your club, and he's finished as a footballer, 30, and has nothing to give, nothing to offer.
No, good on you, Shane. And that was one of the stories. It broke on Friday. Matt Lodge quitting the Warriors because he didn't want to move his family to New Zealand. And Coach Nathan Brown said he was aware of his feelings for some time about moving to New Zealand. He had an option to stay at the Warriors next year, but to decline that. So they've parted ways immediately, and he hasn't got an immediate club to go to. It's all a bit strange, this. And what honestly, like,
why do you sign them?
It's exactly what I thought. Like, what are you using them?
Or you're hoping that they don't get to go back home and play. Like, we've sat here for 2 years going, you know, the Warriors have given so much.
Yeah.
You want rugby league to go back to New Zealand. We're saying next season we want to see more teams give up home games to give back to New Zealand. Yet, why are you going and signing with a team if you don't want to play in that country or that area?
Sign with them.
That's exactly
you're
right.
You're going back at some
stage. Surely you're hoping. You know, that's part of, isn't that part of your culture as a club or as a team, the area you're from?
Yeah. But again, to the Warriors, well, from the Warriors' point of view, they're thinking, well, if you want to leave, yeah, we might as well make that decision now.
I agree with the Warriors doing that.
To cut.
But I'm saying, why did Matt Lodge go there in the first place? He had no other option.
Probably had no other option. I don't know.
If that's the case, then honour your contract. Even if he plays this year and doesn't take the extension, like honour your contract.
The Warriors probably said to him, mate, you know what? If you don't want to go at the end of the year, let's cut it now and make sure that we might have some space in our salary cap to bring someone else in that we can sign on an extension or... You know, we can attract someone from another club. Yeah, there was some talk about Denamis Louis
I don't know why either side. I don't know why Lodge says yes to go. I don't know why the Warriors try and get him in the first place if you know that there's every chance this is going
to
happen.
But I think the Dolphins knocked it on the head. They said he won't be going to them next year.
Yeah. Does he find another club, you reckon?
Oh, he will.
You reckon someone will pick him
up?
Yeah,
someone will pick him up. I don't know what type of money they'll pick him up on, but they will.
Just for any players out, if you sign with the New Zealand Warriors, you're probably going to end up in New Zealand.
Well, you would hope. Isn't that... That's what I'm saying. Surely when you play for Penrith, then a big part of it is you know you're going to be a part of that Penrith community. Mm. If you play for Canberra, you're going to be a part of that Canberra community. Yeah. That's a part, surely, of signing with the team.
I didn't want to take
my family to New Zealand. You picked the wrong team.
Morning, Macca.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, very well, mate. How's the weekend?
Well, my boy didn't play in the weekend. The game got cancelled, so we just stuck at home and watched footy, which I enjoyed.
Washout? Too wet?
Yeah, my son started playing reps, and now unfortunately we're playing our home ground first time this season, and we're playing on grass, and the rest of our other team were playing on synthetic. So we missed out, unfortunately. So we've got a few catch-up games. That's all good. I want to give my heroes. I'm going to give the Cowboys. People question the coach. You know, he's not a good coach last season. But you know what? He got them where he wanted them to be. He got them to the style that he wanted. He got the players that he wants. And I really enjoy the way they're attacking. They're very disciplined. They've got good attitude. The forward are working hard. The halfback controlling the game. You know, I think they're a great team to watch and well-deserved, you know.
Were you there, Macca?
We've had a little dropout for Macca, and while we try and get him back, in fact, we've got to get to the news. Sorry, Macca, your line no good this morning, but to the news coming up with JR, more of your heroes and villains on the other side. Keep them coming, 1353 53, and on the text line 0419 767 272. Okay, this PGA Championship over at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we have Mito Pereira, the Chilean, the overnight leader, 9 under par, even through 6 holes, leading by 3 shots from Will Zalatoris, who's even through 8. The best of the Aussies, Lucas Herbert, 2 under for the tournament, 7 off the pace. He's 1 under through 11 holes today. And Cam Smith is 1 over for the tournament, even through 16 holes in his final round. Tiger Woods, by the way, he withdrew after he shot a 9-over-79 in the third round. So Tiger clearly still very much hampered.
Looks sore, didn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's hobbling.
He looks sore, poor fella.
But Pereira, the Chilean, he's 8 under. So he's 2 shots ahead of Zalatoris. So he's 1 over through 7 now, the Chilean. 2 shots ahead of Zalatoris, who Dick Fain, have you followed Dick Fain's tip? That was his tip, Will Zalatoris. Now, in the French Open, day one, some of the Aussies. Qualifier Jason Kubler, he's won. He's beaten American Dennis Kudler. Alexei Popperin lost to Fabio Fognini in straight sets. Tanasi Kokkinakis went down to Albert Ramos-Vinolas in 4 sets. Astra Sharma lost in 3 sets. Chris O'Connell, he lost to a Slovenian in 4 sets. And Carlos Alcaraz, this emerging Spanish star, he has beaten Juan Ignacio Londero, the Argentine, in straight sets. And we're going to speak to Roger Rashid later this morning to get the update from day one there at Roland Garros. And in the Premier League overnight, Manchester City, they had to do it the hard way because they were down 2-0 against Aston Villa. They won 3-2, 3 goals in 5 minutes there in the second half. In short, they won the title. Liverpool beat Wolves 3-1 at Anfield after going a goal down there as well. So they finished 1-2 in the battle for fourth. Well, Arsenal beat Everton 5-1. Everton clearly still celebrating after they finally got themselves safe the other day from relegation. Tottenham went to Norwich and won 5-0. So Tottenham finished fourth, Arsenal fifth. At the other end of the table, Burnley are relegated along with Watford and Norwich. Burnley went hosted Newcastle and lost 2-1. And Leeds scored a late winner there at Brentford and won 2-1. In that one.
There's a lot of Leeds supporters here in Australia, isn't
there? Huge amounts due to the Kiel Viduca days.
But they'd be certainly happy because it looked like they were going down, didn't it?
Oh, they were in big trouble. Well, yeah. They went into the final day in the relegation zone.
Yeah.
On goal difference. Yes. So, yeah, that's worked out for Leeds fans. Yeah, I know a few Leeds fans from those days, and I know they were up all hours this morning. Now, Jamie Rogers for Heroes and Villains this Monday. How was your weekend, JR?
Yeah, good morning, guys, and good morning to all of our listeners. Boys, I was just telling Clarkie off air, Saturday I had my first real experience of cold water training. I was in 16-degree water, and it was a five-hour swim. Now, 5 hours is not an issue for me. I've done that multiple times. But 16 degrees, turns out it is. My body just was seizing up. You get, you know, when you have brain freeze, when you drink a Slurpee or something, yeah, brain freeze right from the start where you sort of get this really bad headache as soon as you go under the water. And that sort of sticks around for majority of the swim. Now, I looked at my watch at one point and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I'm only just about to reach the halfway mark. And my hip flexors were seizing up, my lower back. And apparently that can be a reaction to your body trying to keep all your organs warm on the inside. I also didn't eat enough, which I later found out because I guess I was just trying so hard to stay warm. I forgot to eat and actually fuel myself. But you know when your mind starts playing tricks on you, because I know that the English Channel is going to be around like a 12-hour mark in that water, and it could even be colder. I've got to do a channel qualification swim in 2 weeks, and the water has to be colder than 15 degrees, and I've got to be in there for at least 6 hours. So you know when all that sort of stuff starts playing in your mind. So ice bath for me today, guys. I've been doing ice baths. I've been sitting there watching a Netflix show on my phone to try and stay in the cold water for half an hour, but I think I've got to up that and probably try and stay in there for about an hour.
Oh, I've got one for you, Jamie. I've got one for you.
Yeah.
When I was training for that ridiculous TV show that I thought about doing, the SAS.
Oh, yes.
So a mate of mine used to be in SAS. Mm-hmm. He's actually, again, these guys are freaks. Anyway, I was talking to him just about just training in general, preparation, because I'm a big one for music or, like you say, if you're having an ice bath. So when you get into an uncomfortable position, if you've got something for your brain to think about, it makes it easier. So he said to me, with all my training, wipe music. So you do it stone cold, nothing in your head. Because what happens, your brain is always looking for a distraction. So you think about the worst moment, the ice bath. Mm. The hardest part's getting in,
yes.
Right? Because you put your toe in, you're freaking out. He said, wipe. No, you're not allowed any music, any TV, nothing. So your brain has to go through the challenge of making yourself do it and feeling every single thing you feel. So if you go for a run, for example, or when you do cross trainer laws, do you listen to music? Because I don't think I could do 45 minutes on a cross trainer.
No way.
With nothing in my head. I'd go insane.
Yeah, I'll watch a TV.
Yeah, program. TV. Yeah. See, he said, okay, you're doing it with none of that. And I'm like, I don't know if I could do it. So there's one for you, JR. Try your ice bath with no Netflix, no movie, nothing.
All right. Well, I've got to do one today, so I'll report back tomorrow how I go.
See if it's any harder. Yeah.
Hey, JR, you know when you just said you had a qualification swim coming up?
Yeah.
So if you don't qualify, you can't go.
Yeah.
So you've got to get through this next swim.
Yeah. So it's part of English Channel. That. Well, it's part of the English Channel Association's rules. So you have to swim in 6 hours in less than 15 degree water. And it's just, I guess, so they know for their insurance purposes that you're capable of doing that. Yeah, exactly. So there's a group of us. I'll actually be doing it for 8 hours. Our swimming coach reckons that the Channel Association need to change it to 8 hours, because if you can last 8 hours in 15 degrees, he then thinks, oh, well, the English Channel, another 2 hours on top of that, or 12. That's nothing. You'll be fine.
I love it how your swim coach just decides, nah, just stay for an extra 2 hours.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
An extra 2 minutes, an extra 2 hours.
Yeah. That's why he's so successful. But he makes us do another two other 8 hour swims. So in 2 weeks, so not this Saturday, but the following, I'll do my 8 hour channel qualification swim.
Who have you got for heroes and villains this morning?
Boys, my hero is Ariane Titmus, who broke the 400-meter freestyle world record overnight in Adelaide, originally held by American Katie Ledecky, who set that back in 2016 at Rio. She won the record by 6 milliseconds, so outstanding result by her, and no doubt a huge campaign coming up. And my villain, I've just put them because I don't think I've ever had Melbourne Storm as a villain, really. And just off the back of that 36-6 loss to the Cowboys, they were without their stars, Ryan Pappenhausen and Jerome Hughes, but I just thought, Loz, Melbourne just had no answers for the Cowboys, who were dominant from the start, and they just didn't look like their normal selves.
No, they didn't. But I'm going to throw this one out there, boys, and JR. Like, a lot of people questioning Melbourne for not signing Munster first. You know, they were wondering, why did you sign Pappenhausen? Why have you signed Hughes? And why have you signed Grant? And I think over the last 2 weeks,
maybe we've seen.
We might have seen the reason why.
Good call.
Because they're more important to the team than Munster. Munster's more of an individual player. Can he bring the best out in other players? I'm just wondering whether that was the part of the reason why they signed these other guys first. Cameron Munster, when you put him in there, he's a $1 million player every day of the week. And he still quite possibly would be a $1 million player, depending on what system he's in. But the last couple of weeks, you'd be sitting back, if you're Craig Bellamy, thinking, geez, we need to get a bit more out of you, Cameron, you know, without these players there. So I reckon, you know, a bit of a wake-up call for all of them, and in particular Cam Munster, because there's no denying that he's in the best, top four or five players in the game.
Definitely.
When he's on, he's arguably
the best.
The best.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
You know, you could make a case for him being the best player in the game. And I reckon they'd be wanting a little bit more out of Cam when those players weren't in the team.
Yeah, I agree.
So I reckon, you know, the next couple of weeks we might see Cam Munster explode again.
Jamie, talk to me about the love triangle. What's happened over the weekend?
Yeah, well, Clarkey, the love triangle's actually taken a bit of a sad turn. So Kyle Chalmers didn't go to yesterday's ceremony that announced the Australian swimming team. And he actually said he's had to take a break from all this, the spotlight, for mental health reasons, because he said he's never had his personal life in the spotlight like what it is now. And he has been painted as a villain. And he said he's had no intentions of any of this. And he's actually been quite surprised by the media reporting how much this love triangle has been happening. And he, Swimming Australia, said they've got, he's got their full support after just all these headlines. No, Cody Simpson will not be going to Budapest because Kyle Chalmers will take that spot. However, Cody is off to the Commonwealth Games because he did finish in the top three. So, look, he was still selected for the Commonwealth Games, but it's just sad that Kyle Chalmers felt that he needed to stay back at home in South Australia around family and friends and miss out on those sort of opportunities.
Is he not seeing another swimmer now anyway? Is that correct, or have I got that wrong?
I don't think he is. So he was in a photo with Maddie Wilson just recently, and Maddie is an ex-girlfriend of his. Okay. So they might be back together. They've been on and off since 2015, so perhaps they are back together again. But there was a photo of Maddie as well as Kyle's family. They're sort of sitting around a table, and he does have his arm around her. So maybe they are back together, but they have been an on-and-off couple for quite a long time.
Good on you, JR. Be back with the news at 7. We've got Helen on the line. Morning, Helen.
Good morning, boys. Loz, I suppose you're smiling this morning because your boys have got three in a row and we've lost two in a row.
You know what, Helen? I'm just so happy for the Raiders, but also for Papa, big Josh Papali'i. 250 games. They went out there and played for him and the club. And to win three in a row, it's difficult. And we were going through a bad patch here only a couple of weeks ago, so it's good to see them hit back.
True. My hero this morning, boys, is Craig Bellamy for signing on as head coach for another 12 months. Everyone, you know, speculated what he was going to do, so I'm happy he's staying on. And my villains are the boys for not playing to the game plan, ball control, stupid passes, rushing passes. And look, credit to the Cowboys. They came out and played a more amazing football. But I think Craig needs to look at two players in particular. And look, I've never put the boots on, but I never criticise a player. But Marion Seve and Dean Eremia, I think they need to look at who else they can put in those positions, because clearly it's not working. It's 2 weeks in a row, it hasn't worked. So they've got to go back and look at the drawing board, and perhaps, you know, there's some reserve grade boys that can step up and give them a shot.
Yeah.
But on that note, it was my birthday on yesterday afternoon. I had a great day.
Happy 21st, Helen.
Actually, Loz, it's 29.
Oh, 29, sorry. 29, I knew you were still 29. In your 20s.
Oh, thank you. No, I actually turned 62 yesterday. I'm proud of my age.
Good girl.
Yeah, celebrated the day with family and had a really nice weekend except for the loss.
Well, you deserve it, Helen. Good on you.
Thank you, guys.
Happy birthday.
And good luck. good luck to the Raiders next week, and hopefully my boys can bounce back. And I'd hate to be at training this morning.
Yeah, I reckon Billy Young will give them a bit of a rev, Helen. Thanks for your call.
I think so, boys. Thank you.
Good on you, Helen. We've got Craig on the line now. G'day, Craig.
Morning, lads. How are we?
Yeah, going good. Thanks, mate. You got a hero for us?
Yeah, mate. I thought last night, under those ridiculous conditions, for a fella to make his debut at fullback and do what Lachie Miller did, I thought that was pretty bloody amazing. He only had that sort of one blemish where Jaden Campbell put that bomb up and it come down with snow on it. So that would have that would have put ice on anyone's fingers. But other than that, I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, he was good. He's got a first-grade career in front of him, by if you look at that game.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of hoping that next week old Fitzy might finally finish with the Braden Trindle project and put Lachie Miller in the 14 with Will Kennedy coming back.
Well, I think you've got to put Will Kennedy straight back in. I think he is someone that adds a lot to this team, and I think he's shown and developed over the last 18 months. But what Lachie did the other day, yesterday, it certainly would give Craig food for thought, because he just looks like he could do anything with the football. And, you know, you could play him in that 13 role when the opposition got a bit tired. And you can only imagine the footwork and speed through the middle. He'd worry a lot of defences.
Oh, yeah. What about your villain, Craig?
Very, very much so. Again, it's the New South Wales Rugby Union, because I had a look at the schedule last night for next week's last home game against the Blues. And the Waratahs are having a really good year.
Mm.
But they've gone back to old mistakes again. I looked at the schedule, and the curtain raiser is a GPS game between, I think it's Barkley and Riverview.
Right.
They made mistakes a couple of years ago about getting rid of all these experienced spells and bringing in all these kids from the GPS high schools, forking all the money into that and forgetting Shoot Shield, and look where it took them. Yeah. This year they've got a squad full of Shoot Shield players, some older heads back, And they're actually beating the New Zealand teams. I don't understand.
Yeah, so why rather see a club rugby game there instead of a school ball.
Very
rugby
much
day.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Very much so.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it for me, brothers.
Okay. Good on you, Craig. Appreciate the call. We've got to take a quick break and get to Adam Pengilly shortly. How tragic are we? Loz is just showing us a winner here in the studio of the first race at Carnarvon there in Western Australia. This is on Saturday, Loz.
Saturday.
Unbelievable win from the horse in the yellow, with the jockey with the yellow colours there.
Unbelievable win, Middo.
Yeah. It's
good
come
performance.
48 wide after being 10 lengths off the pace and run them down.
How was that?
Did you have something on it?
No, I didn't. I didn't, but I saw the race and I went, wow, what's the name of this horse?
He's just cruising in second gear.
Some of the other horses must have been ordinary.
What?
But that was a fair win.
It was a good win.
That was a fair win.
Good win. And this one I wanted to mention on the heroes and villains line. Morning, boys. Love the show. Heroes, the whole team involved in our horse, Hopeful, Annabelle and staff, Rach King, and of course, the horse. He's so tough. We're excited to see where he can get to. I bet you are. That was a great win on Saturday. Phil from Coffs sending this one in and goes on to say his villain is Aston Villa, letting in 3 goals in 15 minutes to give City the title. Well, it was 5 minutes they let 3 goals in. We will win the Champions League, Biddo, to make up for it. Phil from Coffs, hope you're right. But
here we go. So now Aston Villa, now they're getting...
Yeah, it's their fault.
Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah. It couldn't have been City's performance.
Well, they're 2-0 up. Just hold on, get a point. Oh, we win the title.
You don't see that often, do you? You're 2-0 up and you lose.
Well,
just every second game.
Every second game.
Mate, please, look at you folks. Oh, you're allowed to give credit where credit's due. What about congratulations, City? Instead of, Villa, you know, probably got paid and match fixing and rigged it. And you folks are unbelievable.
Adam Pengilly, morning to you, mate.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys.
Don't have to listen to this rubbish next to me, but we just mentioned Hopeful. That was a really nice win in the Lord Mayor's Cup and could be a horse to watch going forward.
Yeah, no doubt, Jared. Annabelle Neesham, she has the knack, doesn't she, getting these imports ready to go early in their Australian careers. Generally, it sort of takes them 2 or 3 racing preparations to really find their stride. We've seen she's done it with Zaki in the past, and Hopeful is another horse. He had to put the riding on the wall at Hawkesbury there first up in Australia, although he played up a lot in the yard. He was a real rat bag. He was a lot better behaved there at Rosehill on the weekend, and Rachel King just managed to coax enough out of him to get him over the line to win that Lord Mayor's Cup. So it's a tricky time of year for him. They might try and head up to Queensland if they get a chance, can find a suitable race, but no doubt he'll be a player at some stage, I imagine, throughout the spring, maybe the late spring. We'll see what Annabelle's got in mind. The frontman was good, much better there on the weekend, and Rock he sort of circled the field, looked like he was going to run past them in about 250 metres to go. He just didn't quite see out the 2,000 metres. But take that away from hopeful, he's a really nice import for the Annabelle Neesham yard to work with.
A mixed day for Sam Clipperton at Rose Hill.
Yeah, he certainly was the story of the day, wasn't he, Loz, with the winning treble. He's just riding so well at the moment, Sam. I know he had a really rough sort of patch there about 12 months ago in his career, but the last 6 months, he's probably the most improved jockey in the Sydney's jockey's room. He got that monk off his back with that Group 1 last week with Marzu in the Doomben 10,000. I think his confidence is just sky high at the moment. So to get a treble was a really nice way to continue his form at the moment. Unfortunately, it was spoiled by suspension riding that filly's heading up towards Queensland there for Caroline Jennings. He caused a bit of interference about the 800-metre mark, so he'll be sitting out in the sidelines for a week and also copped a bit of a suspension for not making weight on another horse as well. I think, Sam, just if anyone wants to know what these jockeys go through, he was sort of questioned by the stewards mid-afternoon there yesterday about not making the weight for one of the horses he was supposed to ride. And he said, well, listen, sir, I'm really sorry, but I haven't had a drink since 8 o'clock on Friday night. So he'd almost gone, 18, 20 hours without a drink to try and keep his weight down. But unfortunately, he was just feeling really ill and needed to take a bottle of water there to try and keep his fluids up. So, yep, that's a bit of a window into the life of jockeys, but no doubt Sam's riding at the peak of his powers at the moment.
Gee, I tell you what, I don't know if a horse loves Adelaide as much as Lombardo. What, 5 of 5 there at Morphettville after winning the Group 1 Goodwood on Saturday?
Yeah, it certainly caused a boil over, wasn't it, Jared? And you're right, he just gets across the border there from Victoria into South Australia and just finds an extra leg. And I love hearing Mick Price interview, Jared. I think he's one of the most honest and candid interviews, whether it's pre-race or it's post-race. And he was asked after the race, did you think this horse could ever win a Group 1? And he just flat out said no. I didn't think he had that ability at all. But he just found the right race for him there on the weekend. And Zach Spain just let him roll along nicely. So well done to the team there with Lombardo. His stalemate was probably the story out of the race, Extreme Warrior, who was the heavily backed favourite and unfortunately tailed off and finished, beat only one runner home. I think Nick Price has actually confirmed he'll be heading to stud now as a stallion. That wasn't the race for him there on the weekend. Certainly didn't put his best foot forward. But well done to Lombardo, getting that Group 1 on the board. He had been tested in Manicado previously, but that was just the right race for him there in the Goodwood.
Well, the Doomben Cup was postponed on Saturday. Supposed to be racing Wednesday, but now that's been put back to, this Saturday?
Yeah, that's right, Loz. We'll have to wait another week to see Zaki this weekend up there in the Doomben Cup. And I know there was a lot of consternation from a lot of people involved with the industry on Saturday morning. They made a relatively late call to postpone that meeting on Saturday. And they waited about 8:30, 9 o'clock. There was a lot of people on planes heading up from Sydney and Victoria trying to get up to Brisbane. And by the time they actually landed, they virtually had to turn around and just try and get a flight to go back home, given all the rainfall they've had up there in Brisbane. So, yep, you're right. They wanted to try and race on Wednesday this week. But again, more rain over the course of the weekend virtually meant it was going to be impossible to race on Wednesday. So they'll switch that race across the road to Eagle Farm, which dries a little bit better. And no doubt Zaki will appreciate that, getting on a slightly drier track. But we'll wait and see how that plays out later in the week.
And your story on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald in conjunction with Michael Chemis, your colleague, under the headline, Dragons Adamant, Bird Won't Be Flying the Coop. So Jack Bird still hasn't signed that deal with the Dragons. Is that right, Adam?
Yeah, that's right, Jared. He agreed to terms virtually a couple of weeks ago. I think it was after they got beat by Melbourne a couple of weeks ago before heading up to Magic Round. He was going to stay at the Dragons on a 2-year deal with an option for a third year. But we're going to wait to officially sign until they got back in Sydney. And obviously the Dragons have been in camp for the best part of a week and a half, 2 weeks. He's back in Sydney and still hasn't signed that deal. Speaking to a few people at the Dragons yesterday, they're not concerned. They think that deal will be signed in the next 48 hours. Hopefully the Tigers are saying that they're not in the race for Jack Bird. They were the most obvious suitors for him. He wasn't going to stay at the Dragons. So we'll wait and see how that plays out. But put it in these terms, I don't think the Dragons are too concerned at the moment. That deal hasn't officially been signed yet.
Mate, thank you so much.
See you, boys.